Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
It's good to see all of you here tonight, and it is wonderful to be here. We are going to open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before thee this night, thanking thee for thy goodness, thanking thee for bringing us here once again. We are so grateful for all that thou hast done for us, for giving us this opportunity to once again be in thy presence. For we know that thou hast promised, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And we believe that thou art right here with us today. We embrace this promise, and we ask, O God, that thy presence would truly be here. Let us all feel thy spirit here tonight. Fill us all with the Holy Ghost, I pray, and inspire us to truly worship thee with our whole hearts. I ask, O God, that thou would preside over this entire service, and let thy perfect will be done. Let everything we do be done according to thy perfect plan. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, to the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to sing some scripture tonight. You know, sometimes it feels good to do that, and we actually have a lot of choruses in this chorus book that are actually scripture. Praise God. And you know, singing these choruses is also a wonderful way to learn scripture and to remember scripture. Let's start with number 115 and sing, I Will Enter His Gates. Number 115.
I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad.
Let's go to number 40 and sing, Great is the Lord, number 40.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. joy of the whole earth is one sign on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, the side of the northern city of the great king. Praise the Lord.
Jesus. Let's sing number 44, Give Unto the Lord, number 44.
Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength.
And sing the garments of praise. Number 124, the garment of praise.
Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to
shift that a little bit.
Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Pray in the spirit and with understanding. Oh, Lord, magnify the Lord. up your voice to God.
Let's go to number 139 and sing Unto Thee, O Lord, number 139. Try number 159, Seek Ye First. I'm not sure if I remember how it goes, but we're going to try it. Number 159. Okay. All right, we'll get it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let's go to number 151 and sing Be Still and Know, number 151.
Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am.
Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, it is so wonderful to sing scripture. You know, these same words have been used for thousands of years to glorify God. Praise God. Such a wonderful thing. These are inspired words, inspired from God Himself. Praise the Lord. We are going to take up the collection. Matthew, would you help us with that, please? Thank you, sir. Praise God. Father in heaven, we thank you this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank thee for thy blessings. We thank thee for thy love and thy care towards us. For we know, O God, that we would be completely helpless without thee. We would be completely lost without thee. And we thank thee, O God, that though we are lost, now we are found. And I pray that thou would continue to lead us, guide us, direct us. Give us thy wisdom, for we need thy wisdom so much. Give us thy wisdom on how these funds should be used, O God, for thy purpose, for thy glory. Let everything we do here be for thy glory, for the cause of thy name. And I pray, O God, that thou would bless the givers here tonight, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, to the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Well, we are going to sing one more chorus before we turn it over to Shirley for the Bible study. Number 169, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Number 169. Thank you. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we are going to turn it over to Shirley and see what the Lord has laid on her heart tonight. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise our God. Oh, it's been so good to worship the Lord here tonight. It's wonderful when we put those words to music and think about what He's done for us. And oh, wow, how He's changed our lives and transformed us. It's, you know, a wonderful, wonderful blessing, wonderful joy. And we do have so much to worship the Lord for. Just, you know, it just overflows at times. You know, and times, I'll tell you what, you know, there's times when we can't contain it. You know, I know there's times when people have been filled with the Holy Ghost because, you know, English just wasn't good enough. And all at once, wow, the Lord just took over. And oh, yes, that tongue began to move and the Holy Ghost began to speak, and all at once, we were worshiping the Lord in another tongue, in another language, as the Spirit of God gave the evidence and the fulfillment there as He came into the life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's wonderful how He talks to us and how He rejuvenates us and how He washes us. We're going to be talking about the washing of regeneration here tonight, and see how the Lord might direct this. I did have the privilege of talking to a dear friend here today, and she was just telling me bits and pieces of things and sharing, and of course we prayed. But anyway, she was telling me a story that she had heard of where a man who was a member of ISIS was walking along, and all at once he noticed that there were three crosses there, and there were three men on those crosses, and he paused to just reflect what was going on, and he heard them singing. And even though there they were dying on a cross, they were singing unto the Lord. It was a beautiful song that they were singing, and he couldn't help but notice, and it began to work in him. It made a definite impact upon his life. And he went a little distance and came to a church, and lo and behold, they were singing the same song that the men on the crosses were singing. And I believe that man, who had been a member of ISIS, gave his heart to the Lord and could no longer bear to be a part of that group. But that's how the Lord transforms. That's how the Lord changes. And, you know, as I was talking with Barbara, you know, we mentioned how sometimes it comes upon us to pray for our enemies. And that's indeed something that the Lord Jesus told us to do. And you just never know who the Lord is going to change, who the Lord is going to bring to Himself. And you know, this was just an example of somebody that was way out there. But God reached out, and I don't know if somebody was praying for him particularly or what the full story is. Maybe we never will know on this earth, but God knows how to get hold of hearts. And you never know who it's going to be. If it's, you know, Saul of Tarsus, you know, there on the road. Oh, yes, you know, with his intent to persecute Christians. You don't know who it's going to be, but the Lord knows how to intervene. It's often way beyond the way we would comprehend it and think of ourselves. But praise the Lord, our God is great and so able to do exceedingly above that which we ask or think. Praise the Lord. Praise our Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord, the washing of regeneration. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we serve a mighty God. Oh, Lord, we thank you that you have washed us, that you've cleansed us, Lord, that you've moved in our lives. Oh, God, that we can come boldly before that throne of grace and mercy. Oh, Lord. Oh, God, knowing, oh, Lord, that you were forever there waiting. Oh, God, and that we can, that you bore our oh God, our sorrows, our troubles, our sins, Lord, all of that upon the cross. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, God. Oh God, we know that, oh Lord, we can praise you now, Lord. With that song of praise, oh Lord, it will continue into eternity, Lord. Oh God, oh Lord, for oh Lord, we're just subject unto this moment here on this earth, but oh Lord, it goes beyond that, Lord. Oh God, for you've given us the everlasting life, Lord. You give us something to sing about, Lord. You've given us something to rejoice in, Lord. Oh God, you've given us hope beyond this world. I pray, oh God, that you speak to us tonight, Lord. Oh God, that you move in our hearts. Oh Lord, that you make us what we ought to be in you, Lord Jesus. And oh God, I pray, oh Lord, that you would implant thy image upon us, O Lord. O God, to put thy spirit within us, Lord. O God, I pray that you make us so we ought to be in you, Lord Jesus. I pray, O God, that, O Lord, you'd work in our hearts. O God, that these words, O Lord, would have meaning, O Lord, not fall to the ground, O Lord, but that you would speak to each and every one of us, Lord. O God, for here we are, Lord. O God, you know, O God, the struggles that we face here in this world, O Lord, you know the burdens that we carry, Lord. You know the difficulties, Lord. But I pray, O Lord, that you'd help us to rejoice in you, Lord. I pray, O God, that you give us that song of praise, O Lord, that wells up, O Lord. O God, O Lord, within us, Lord. Oh, that well of everlasting life, O Lord, that which you've given us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, and ask that you be here. And, O Lord, that you direct this message in Jesus' name, O Lord. No, I need you, Lord, and ask that you move in our hearts, you change us. Oh, God, that you bring us to the place we need to be in you, Lord. Oh, God, we give it all to you, Jesus. Oh, God, we give our hearts to you, Lord. Oh, God, we lay it down before you, Lord. Oh, no, oh, Lord, that, oh, Lord, you can give us that strength that we need, Lord, that energy that we need, oh, Lord. Oh, God, that healing that we need. Oh, Lord Jesus, oh, God. For thou art able to do, O God, exceedingly above that which we ask or think. We give it to thee, Lord, now in Jesus' name, that you'd work in our hearts, that you change, Lord. I pray that you'd save, O Lord, tonight, Lord God, that your hand, O Lord, your arm of mercy would reach out, Lord, to touch, O Lord, that one that needs thee so desperately, Lord. And that you bring us all to that higher ground in Jesus' name, oh Lord, that place where we need to be in you, Lord, to be ready to meet thee, Lord. Oh God, in Jesus' name, that you work in us, Lord, that you bind the strong man and every opposing spirit, oh God, everything that would come against us, Lord. Oh God, in Jesus' name, oh Lord, we give it to you, Lord. Oh Lord, knowing that you're so able to help us. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Our God is so good. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. We can sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just going, first of all, to the book of Isaiah here. Isaiah, and we'll go to the 64th chapter. Just a common verse here. Verse 6. But we are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf. And our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. And just stopping here for a moment, we know that sin, the transgression of the law, is a big problem. And until the Lord reaches down and touches us and cleanses us from all our sins, we just don't have anything at all that's, you know, that's a value, really, internally, because anything we could do of ourselves is but an unclean thing, it tells us here in this verse. And as we know, all our righteousnesses are but filthy rags. And, you know, we're just like that leaf that falls from the trees, you know. We do fade. You know, it's you know, on the tree one moment and on the ground the next, and drying up and maybe burnt into, you know, up with a pile of leaves. And, of course, oh, man, those iniquities, they take us away. And they would separate us from God if there was no way to be forgiven. But praise the Lord, God made a way. And we know that Romans, the third chapter, tells us we all had sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then, oh yes, we know that also from the sixth chapter, Romans, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so it is, without God there would have been no hope. And, you know, because those sins that have dragged us down caused so many problems in our lives. The only thing that they gain is death, eternal separation from God. And there's, you know, no good that you can say of it. But I thank God there is one that made a way that we can come boldly unto that throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Such a wonderful thing. I'm going to go to the book of Numbers there, one of the books of Moses there, and first five books of the New Testament are called the books of Moses. Numbers is the fourth one there. And just for a little bit, I want to go to the 19th chapter of Numbers. Let's see, just, oh wow, we were at such a point before the Lord reached down and touched us. And it's just so strange that the day that we live in, there's some that want to go back to the rituals of the past, those things that were only for a moment and not, you know, totally able to take away that penalty of sin. But here in the 19th chapter of Numbers, we read that the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, this is the ordinance of the law which the Lord hath commanded, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring thee a red heifer, without spot, wherein is no blemish, and upon which never came yoke. And ye shall give her unto Eleazar the priest, that he may bring her forth without the camp, and one shall slay her before his face. And Eleazar, the priest, shall take of her blood with his finger and sprinkle of her blood directly before the tabernacle of the congregation seven times. And one shall burn the heifer in his sight. Her skin and her flesh and her blood with her dung shall he burn. The priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet and cast it into the midst of the burning of the heifer. Then the priest shall wash his clothes, and he shall bathe his flesh in water, and afterward he shall come into the camp, and the priest shall be unclean until the evening. And he that burneth her shall wash his clothes in water, and bathe his flesh in water, and shall be unclean until the evening. And a man that is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer, and lay them up without the camp in a clean place, and it shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel for a water of separation. It is a purification for sin. And he that gathereth the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the even, and it shall be unto the children of Israel, unto the stranger that sojourneth among them, for a statute forever. And of course this was for the endurance of the law. But it was so essential during that period of time that there would be shedding of blood. As tells us in the 9th chapter of Romans, for without shedding of blood there was no remission of sin. And everything that you know they did, that was a shadow of things to come, was with blood. And here we have, you know, the direction that was given Moses and Aaron, you know, the need that, you know, they were to find this red heifer, one without spot, without blemish, that never had been yoked, and they were to slay it and then sprinkle the blood, you know, before the congregation of the tabernacle of the congregation 7 times. And I'll tell you what, to take that heifer and burn it, the whole entire thing, and then those ashes to be kept aside for an offering of sin, for the water of separation as a purification ritual that was needed at this time of the law. But the thing is, everyone that participated, they did it. And they needed to do it exactly and precisely as the instructions were given. But after it was done, after they'd done all this, you know, did the bloody sacrifice and event, you know, they were unclean. And here in this case, they were unclean until the evening. And then there were other things here that also made individuals unclean. We continue with this chapter in verse 11. It says, he that toucheth the dead body of any man shall be unclean 7 days. He shall purify himself with it on the 3rd day, and on the 7th day he shall be clean. But if he purify not himself the 3rd day, then the 7th day he shall not be clean. So these directives had to be fulfilled. And, you know, very precisely, the 3rd day, they had to purify themselves. Otherwise, forget it. Forget it. And then it says in verse 13, whosoever toucheth the dead body of any man that is dead and purify not himself defileth the tabernacle of the Lord. And very severe here, it says, that soul shall be cut off from Israel, because the water of separation was not sprinkled upon him. He shall be unclean. His uncleanness is yet upon him. And it says, this is the law. When a man dieth in the tent, all that come into the tent and all that is in the tent shall be unclean 7 days. And upon every open vessel which hath no covering bound upon it, it is unclean. Whosoever toucheth one that is slain with a sword in the open fields, or a dead body, or a bone of a man, or a grave, shall be unclean 7 days. And there was a procedure that they had to follow. Verse 17 tells us there had to be a remedy for this uncleanness. There had to be something that they had to do to get rid of it. And it tells us, and for an unclean person, they shall take of the ashes of the burnt heifer, a purification for sin, and running water shall be put thereto in a vessel. And a clean person shall take hyssop and dip it in the water and sprinkle it upon the tent and upon all the vessels and upon the persons that were there, upon him that toucheth a bone or one slain or one dead or a grave. And the clean person shall sprinkle upon the unclean on the 3rd day and on the 7th day. And on the 7th day he shall purify himself and wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and shall be clean at even. And I'm reading this to show us the severity of sin and the need just for cleansing, there at that point, that heifer that was given as a sacrifice there, and his ashes were set aside so that if somebody was unclean, then those ashes, which were put into a vessel with running water, would be there for this ritual, for this purification. Somebody who wasn't defiled at that moment, a clean person would take hyssop and dip it in that water where the ashes were, and then it would sprinkle it upon everything that was contaminated. Well, the tent, if that was the case, or the vessels, or the persons that had been in the tent where that dead person had died, or upon him that had happened to come upon a bone of a dead person, or one slain, or, you know, a grave, or whatever. But it was needed, because they were unclean, and there had to be something that could be done to remedy this. And so it was that clean person would sprinkle them on the third day, and then on the seventh day. And on the seventh day at evening, they would be pure again. They would be cleansed again if they had followed this order. And it was, you know, purifying themselves, washing their clothes, bathing themselves in water to be clean again. But it tells us in verse 20, but the man that shall be unclean and shall not purify himself, that soul shall be cut off from among the congregation, because he hath defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. The water of separation hath not been sprinkled upon him. He is unclean. And it shall be a perpetual statute unto them, that he that sprinkleth the water of separation shall wash his clothes, and he that toucheth the water of separation shall be unclean until even. And whatsoever the unclean person touches shall be unclean. And the soul that toucheth it shall be unclean until even. So you see there, oh wow, there was a problem. If, you know, you happened across something that was considered unclean and you touched it, then you had to be purified. You had to be washed in that water where the ashes of that heifer had been put. And if you didn't do this, if you didn't follow through, then you were going to be cut off from the people. That's how severe it was. That's how essential it was to follow this ritual, this procedure under the law. Well, I praise the Lord, we're not under the law at this point. And what a wonderful relief it is. You know, for all of me, I can't understand why anybody would want to go back to it. I can't understand why, you know, they would be trying to come across some red heifers to, you know, go forth with this sort of procedure that has been done away with by the blood of Jesus Christ. But so it is. That was what was necessary under this time of the law. And I know, if we go to the book of Isaiah here for a moment, the sixth chapter, that need for cleansing was so apparent, it was so evident, and the sixth chapter of Isaiah, we know that God gave the prophet Isaiah a vision, a very glorious vision, and at that point he also called Isaiah to serve him, to go forth and declare the words of the Lord. And it tells us in the sixth chapter, it was the year that King Uzziah died that Isaiah saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, his train filled the temple, a glimpse of the Lord. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. With twain he did fly. Oh, these angels called seraphims with the six wings. He did see them above the glorious, vision that he had of the Lord. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Oh, what a sight that must have been. Oh, to have a glimpse of the Lord. Oh, yes, to see him high and lifted up, his train filled the temple. Oh, praise the Lord. I do remember those years ago we were in Spokane, Washington, and oh, we were in a motel, and we were going forth with a baptism. There were 10 people, I believe, that were baptized that day in the waters there in that hotel. I'll tell you what, it was glorious. You could feel the presence of the Lord. And I know Pastor David saw a vision of the Lord at that point. You know, I didn't see this, but I could feel the presence of the Lord and that lingering spirit that was upon us at that point. It was like you never wanted to leave. The pastor saw a glimpse of God at that point, that throne of God. And it was so glorious. It was so wonderful to behold that. And of a truth, oh, there was no doubt, you know, that the Lord was with us there. Oh, yes, as those people went down in the waters of baptism for the remission of sins, the Lord was there in that place. You know, it was quite an amazing thing. I can remember, you know, after it was finished, there were some of the spokespeople for that motel came in. I guess there had been a complaint. They were using the pool for a baptism. But praise the Lord, it had been done, and the Lord had met with us, and praise the Lord, no one could stop us. It went forth according to the will of God. I thank the Lord, but it was so glorious to be in the presence of the Lord. I'll tell you what, when we worship him, you know, we are worshiping him tonight. Tell you what, oh yes, the presence of the Lord comes down when we worship him in spirit and in truth. Oh yes, he seeketh such to worship him. Oh, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. But praise the Lord, when we worship him with all our heart, oh, when we worship him in truth, his presence comes down. Oh, yes, he begins to touch us. He begins to meet our needs. Oh, as we lift him up and adore him and worship him, he comes down. Oh, we can sense of a truth that he is there with us. Oh, we can know. Praise the Lord. Oh, we get a little glimpse. We get a little feel of the things that are yet coming for God's people. Things that we yet have to embrace, the wonderful days that are ahead where we forever will be in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But as Isaiah was seeing this wonderful sight, oh yes, and it was so wonderful that the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. Oh, as they were crying, the angels, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Oh, praise the Lord. The whole earth is full of his glory. Oh, the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. The house was filled with smoke. Oh, yes, there was evidence that God was there in the midst, there with Isaiah. But the reaction that Isaiah had, verse 5, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And there needed to be a remedy. Oh yes, of ourself. We are just an unclean thing. We, all our own righteousnesses, anything we could do of ourself, is just a filthy rags, just like filthy rags. And there he was, he realized as he glimpsed God and saw him in all his glory and splendor and all his holiness, all he could realize is, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a band of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of unclean people with unclean lips. Oh, mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And then flew one of the seraphims unto Isaiah, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon Isaiah's mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Oh, yes, there was a work that Isaiah needed to do, but before he could do it, he had to get rid of that gruesome thing that drags us all down, that thing that separates us from God. That iniquity had to be taken away. It was in the way. But praise the Lord, those live coals were laid upon his lips to take away his iniquity, so his sin could be purged, to make him fit, to make him ready to serve the Lord. Praise the Lord, and God then called him. Oh, yes, he heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then it says, then said I, here am I, send me. And God told him, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Oh, it was going to be a hard assignment that God had given him, because the people were not going to comprehend. They were not going to see and understand. Their hearts were going to be hardened, so that they could not acknowledge the message that Isaiah would bring forth. And he was to do it. Oh, as he asked the Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. Oh, yes, all of that. But that need to be cleansed. Oh, yes, the time of Jesus, we know, even as he was still under the period of the law, that there were lepers. They would have to cry, unclean, 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 so that no one would come near. And when Jesus cleansed them, and when they were healed, they were told to go to the priest for a cleansing, because there was a procedure, there was a ritual that had to be followed under the law in order for cleansing. Praise the Lord. But our God has gone before us. You know, I'm going to go back to Isaiah, but for a moment, I want to go to the book of Hebrews, that 9th chapter. Just read a little bit here. In Hebrews, the 9th chapter, verse 11, it says, but Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, just as we read back there in Numbers, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all, the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Oh, praise the Lord. All these things that pertain to the first testimony or the first covenant were all to bring us to Christ. They were a pattern of things that would yet be to come. And as it all, that purging of blood, it was so essential. But praise the Lord, under the new covenant, under the new testament, oh yes, there was one that came forth to redeem us. There was one that shed forth his blood, that perfect Lamb of God, without blemish, without spot, that offered himself as a sacrifice for our sins to atone, did it once and for all, so that we would no longer have to go into those places to obtain cleanliness, to be purified, oh, to find redemption, all the things that were necessary by the blood of calves and of goats with water, scarlet wool and hyssop, all of that ashes of the red heifer, all of those things that were relevant at that time. But praise the Lord took it out of the way. They were a figure of things yet to come. He had a perfect plan. There was another covenant that he was going to bring forth in his blood, so that those rituals were put aside. They were no longer necessary to purify, to cleanse, to make one clean again. Oh yes, it wasn't going to be necessary because the Lord Jesus Christ redeemed us with his own blood as he offered himself upon the tree. Oh yes, taking upon himself our sins. Oh, that perfect Lamb of God. We know, as it tells us in 1 Peter, that first chapter, "For as much as we know that we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who barely was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him to believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." And it says, "being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Oh, praise the Lord. We were purified by that precious blood of Christ. Praise the Lord. So that we don't have to, oh, go before the priest to gain some kind of cleansing, some kind of atonement. Oh yes, all the need. Without it, without shedding the blood, there was no remission. Oh, if they had not followed that ritual, they would be cut off from the people. Praise the Lord, there was another testament. Oh yes, it would take the death of the testator. Yes, the death of Jesus Christ to bring it forth. Because you can't bring a will into existence until the testator dies. But Jesus Christ paid that price so that we could be redeemed, not with corruptible things of silver and gold from our vain conversation or our vain way of life that we received by tradition from our fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, it's such a wonderful thing. You know, so often, yet even in this day, people try to find some kind of redemption with corruptible things. You know, I'll tell you what, you can't find redemption by burning candles on behalf of that departed person. No, that's not going to do it. There's prayers for the dead. No, that's not going to do it. Indulgences. No, that's not going to do it. That's not going to take care of it all. Because God made a provision that all of us, oh yes, seeing our sin, seeing our own righteousness as nothing but filthy rags, seeing it, oh yes, our need to come before the Lord, that we could all personally come before the Lord Jesus Christ. It isn't going to take money, and it's not going to take fame. You know, we don't have to do some fanciful thing to obtain salvation. Nothing that's corruptible. But praise the Lord, He made a provision. Oh yes, that we could come before our great high priest that has gone into the heavens, Jesus Christ, the one who made atonement for us, that we could go directly before Him. We don't need another. We can bow before Him. We can bring our sins before Him, knowing that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to cleanse us from our sins. Oh yes, and to purify our hearts. Oh yes, it isn't going to take the sprinkling of that ashes of the dead heifer to cleanse us with the water and the hyssop and all those other things that they needed to do in the days of old under the old covenant. But praise the Lord, we have access to the throne of grace. Oh yes, that wonderful place where we can go to obtain mercy. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, to find that grace to help us in the time of need. Thank the Lord. Oh, that veil was ripped in twain so that it no longer separates us between the holy place and the holiest of holy. That means that we can go directly before the throne of grace. Oh, yes, the high priest only could go behind that veil in the times of the old covenant, only once a year, and only he could do it in precisely exactly the way that he was instructed. He had to have bells on, you know, on his garments so that if he did anything wrong, they would know that he was dead, and they could, you know, there's a rope around him so they could, you know, pull him out of that place. It had to be done exactly. But now we can enter into that place. Oh yes, because Jesus Christ has entered into that place behind the veil. It was ripped in twain so that we could enter in there. Oh yes, and know the Lord is our God, is our Savior, is our friend, is our Redeemer. All those wonderful things that He has done on our behalf. Praise the Lord. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. And if we go back to the book of Isaiah, tells us in the 35th chapter, as the prophet Isaiah was declaring, and there's so many wonderful utterances that he brought forth in this book. And he's proclaiming here in this 35th chapter of Isaiah the works that would yet follow. Oh, he says, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. The excellency of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Oh, he's talking about blessings. He's talking about rejoicing, the hope that we find in Jesus Christ. Strengthen ye the weak hands, confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Oh yes, in spite of hopelessness, in spite of darkness, oh, our God came into the scene, manifested in the flesh as the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. There he was, it says in verse 5, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, and then shall the lame man leap as a hart, as a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. Oh yes, because he was going to pour out of his spirit. He's going to put his spirit in our mortal bodies. Oh, he's going to change us so that, oh, he dwelt inside of us. And oh, we could partake of that living water that would come and be a spring of everlasting water deep down inside our inner being. Oh, springing up into everlasting life. Oh, those waters would break out in the wilderness and the barren spots, the places where there was no hope. Oh, yes, when Jesus comes into our life, things begin to change. Oh, yes, that was those dismal, hopeless, oh, miserable conditions that we lived in. He comes to bring deliverance. He comes to set us free. Oh, yes, those addictions, those sins, those things that hindered, oh yes, those things that covered us, all those unclean things, oh, that stood in our way, oh yes, are taken away by the blood of Jesus Christ, on that living water that he freely pours out. If we'll just come to him and obey him, oh, and believe him, and lean on him, oh yes, so that parched ground shall become a pool. Oh, praise the Lord, barren, empty, cracked. All at once, that living water comes in, restoration. Oh, that parched ground. Oh, yes, instead it becomes a pool. On the thirsty land, springs of water. Oh, yes, land that was barren, that needed nourishment, that couldn't grow a thing. But all at once, because Jesus comes into the scene, comes into our lives, things become different. Oh, yes, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Oh, yes, those old things, oh, become new. Oh, the Lord comes into our life, begins to change us. Oh, in the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And then it tells us in verse 8, and a highway shall be there in a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. Oh yes, this highway of holiness. Oh yes, it's not for those that are unclean. There's just as if you were unclean under the law and you didn't follow the procedures, you're going to stay in your filthiness. You're going to stay in your uncleanness. But the Lord made a provision. He made a highway of holiness. He made a way. Oh yes, the unclean are not going to pass over it. But instead, the redeemed are going to walk therein. The ransomed of the Lord, they're going to return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Oh, praise the Lord, that wonderful way of holiness. Oh, yes, there's not going to be any lion or a ravenous beast or anything that's unclean on the highway of holiness. For the Lord made a way that we could come to him and be cleansed, be purged. Oh yes, a way that we could go down into those waters of baptism for the remission of sin and be purged from our old man and find salvation. We turn to Isaiah 52. We also see another prophetic utterance that was given. It says, awake, awake, in the first verse. Put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem. the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down. Leave off thy mourning. Shake off thyself from the dust, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, all the things that have entered you, all the things that have kept you in bondage. O captive daughter of Zion, there's going to be hope. There's going to be a restoration. It's time to put on thy strength. For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourself for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. Oh, yes. Again, oh, we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from our vain conversation received. You know, all those traditions that were received from our fathers, but by the precious blood of Christ. So there was a way that, oh yes, people had been sold for naught. And there was a promise, ye shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrians oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord. And my name continually every day is blasphemed. Oh, the oppression of sin. Oh, the bondage of sin, the chains of sin. Oh, yes, for naught, for no avail. But there's a promise here. Therefore, in verse 6, my people shall know my name. Therefore, they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publish peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publish salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. The watchmen shall lift up the voice, and the voice together shall they sing. For they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring against Zion. Oh yes, God taking away the divisions, all the things that hinder people, causing strife and envy, all those things be taken away when people are truly given to the Lord. So therefore, in verse 9, break forth into joy. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. Oh, that place where his people dwell. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Oh, the wonderful plan of God. Oh, God bearing forth his holy arm. Oh, in other words, God Almighty, the Creator, putting on flesh to come to this world to redeem a people, and not just a specific people, not just one nation or one type of people, but it says all the ends of the earth. Oh yes, all the tribes and nations. There's going to be people of all kindreds, all nationalities there in the presence of the Lord. We all stand in that holy place before the throne of God. All the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. And then it says, depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. And I'll tell you what, when we give our lives to the Lord, we don't stay in our sins, do we? Oh no, God forbid that we which have been free from sin would live in those sins any longer. No, because he has made a way that we don't have to live in all that confusion. We don't have to live in all that trouble. We don't have to go that way. We can be freed from that burden of sin. We can be relieved of it. We give it to the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, and what a wonderful thing. So we, as he said here, be clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. We turn from sin. For ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight, for the Lord will go before you. The God of Israel shall be your reward. That means he's going to be behind you too. He goes before you, and he's also your reward. He's behind you, bearing you up and carrying you forward. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished, or astonied, it says, but astonished is what the word is in our current English, at thee. His visage, his face, was so marred more than any man, his form more than the sons of men. Oh, there he was on the cross. Oh, his visage, his face so marred that you couldn't even recognize him, it seems, from the description here. Oh, they were astonished as they beheld him there. But there he was, his form more than the sons of men. But what a precious moment, because he was sprinkling us with his blood. It says in verse 15, so shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. The glorious deeds of the gospel, as he was bringing forth the blood of his new covenant, so that we might come unto him. Ye that are weary and heavy laden, coming unto him that we might obtain rest, that we might, be redeemed from our old man, from all our sins, from all those hindrances that kept us far from God. Oh, praise the Lord, the wonderful plan of God, the way that he made, that we could come to him. And if we go to 1 Corinthians now for a moment, the 6th chapter, 1 Corinthians in the New Testament there, after the book of Romans, 1 Corinthians, we read verse 9 here. It says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of himself with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, there's no way you can live in your sin and inherit the kingdom of God. And here he's simply telling us, 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verse 9, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Don't be deceived. Be not deceived. Don't fool yourself. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Sort of sounds like the times that we live in, and people thinking that they can live in adultery, or fornication, or be effeminate, or, as it continues, thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, using filthy, revolting language, like they're spitting upon Jesus in that sense, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Those that take advantage of people by trying to extract them from them things that they have no right to extract. But none of them shall inherit the kingdom of God. Tells us clearly, plainly, simply. But then verse 11 says, and such were some of you. Oh, we all had a past. Oh, we all had those moments. We were all under sin. We had all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our unrighteousnesses are, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But praise the Lord, it says, such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All the provisions of our God. Oh yes, we can come to the cross of Jesus Christ in that sense. We can come all to that place where we submit our lives to Him, knowing that He is there if we confess our sins. Oh yes, if He's there to make atonement for our sins, if we will just accept that sacrifice of Calvary, if we'll just come before Him, oh yes. Just going to Titus here for a moment, the third chapter. And it tells us also in Titus, in verse 3, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Oh, talking about the old man again here. But verse 4, Titus the third chapter, verse 4. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Oh, Jesus came on the scene. Oh, He came to make atonement for our sins. And it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration. Oh, that wonderful water of baptism. It's, oh yes, that water, that pure water of baptism, when we go down in the water by faith, believing in the atonement, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, that water becomes washing of regeneration. Oh, that water that cleanses us and regenerates us, making us new creatures in Christ. Old things having passed away and all things becoming new, the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Oh yes, that promise of the gift of the Holy Ghost. As Peter said on the day of Pentecost, oh, when they asked him, men and brethren, what must we do? Peter answered and said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, and even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Praise the Lord, that gift of the Holy Ghost, the renewing of the Holy Ghost which He puts into us. Oh, that plan. He gave up the ghost of the cross, knowing that He would pour it out on the day of Pentecost for those that would receive it. Oh, those that would be hungry and thirsty, those that would repent and be baptized in His name. He poured that Spirit out, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Oh, that wonderful gift that He gave us. That's not according to our righteousnesses, our works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy which He saved us by the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Ghost which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Praise the Lord. Praise our wonderful God. Going to 1 Peter, just a little past. New Testament there, just a little bit before the book of Revelation. 1 Peter there, the 3rd chapter. Verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, be put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the longsuffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. You know, those waters by which many were destroyed, most were destroyed, save those 8 that were in the ark. Those waters saved them. But God manifested in the flesh the man Christ Jesus there, after he had been on the cross, those 3 days and nights, he went and preached unto the souls in prison. There were a people that he had to present himself to and preach the glorious gospel to. Perchance they would repent. He gave them space, it seems, at that point, to yet come unto him, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by fire, were saved by water. And then he tells us the like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Oh, just as those waters that held up the ark saved those 8 that were preserved of that ark, there's a like figure now, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. It's not the putting away of the flesh, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but it's the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because what happens in those waters of baptism? Oh, we go down, an old man goes down in those waters of baptism. We're buried with Christ in those waters. But we come up likened unto the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We come up with those filthy sins, those filthy deeds, that filthy past being put away, so that we now have a good conscience toward God. Oh yes, we can now stand before God because we've been cleansed by his blood and those wonderful waters of regeneration. Oh yes, that flow and to continue to be there for our needs, for our availability. Oh, praise the Lord. So that like figure, whereunto even baptism doth now also save us. Not the putting away the filth of the flesh. Oh, we don't go down to those waters just to clean our bodies. No, that's not the object at all. But it's the answer of a good conscience toward God. Oh yes, so that one day we can stand before him without any sin, without being unclean, so that it's taken care of. And praise the Lord, it's not going to take the blood of a red heifer to cleanse us. Oh no, that's done away. He brought forth another testament. He brought forth another covenant so that we can come directly before that throne of grace. Oh yes. Oh, and so that we could all go down in the waters of baptism and be freed from our sins. Oh, praise the Lord. Wonderful gift we've been given. Oh, yes, that answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Under the old covenant, they had to They had to do it precisely. Oh, yes. When Aaron and his sons were to go into the tabernacle, they had to wash in the laver that they die not. Oh, it was essential that they would wash with water when they came near to the altar to minister. It had to be done. But now, there is another accepted way. Oh, yes, there's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, the one who made atonement for us so that we can go before that throne of grace and find mercy. Oh, praise the Lord. And so it is. We're not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from our vain conversation, received by tradition from our fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who barely was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. And what a wonderful thing it is. You know, God knew. He knew the first covenant was temporary. It was for that period of time to do the job that it needed to do. But there was a plan that was beyond it, that was foreordained from the foundation of the world. Oh, a plan that would totally take care of the problem of sin. Oh, yes, that wonderful washing of regeneration. Oh, yes, that blood of Jesus Christ that sets us free. Oh, yes, it makes it possible that we could enter into that place where He is. Oh, that place beyond the veil, the place where God is. We could go directly before that, besides that. The renewing of the Holy Ghost, when He fills us with the Holy Ghost and the Spirit comes down into our lives and we speak with tongues and magnify the Lord, is that evidence springs forth that we have been bought with a price, oh, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Praise the Lord. We are all were like sheep that had gone astray, but now we are returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of our souls, oh, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Oh, praise the Lord. That wonderful one, that Lamb of God, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. When He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judges righteously. Praise the Lord. His precious blood redeems us from all filthiness. Oh, and we are washed. We are washed pure and clean. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Praise our God. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Praise God. Praise the Lord. You know it when He sees the blood. Just as He passed over all Israel when there was that blood on the doorpost, when He sees the blood on our lives, He passes over us because we've been cleaned, we've been washed, we've been purified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Praise You, Lord. Praise God. Oh, thank You, Lord.
Praise the Lord. We're going to go to our hymnals now in closing and go to number 194. Are you washed in the blood? Number 194.
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?